With great power comes great responsibility.
Compromise where you can. Where you can't, don't. Even if everyone is telling you that something wrong is something right, even if the whole world is telling you to move, it is your duty to plant yourself like a tree, look them in the eye and say no, you move.
Never step onto the battlefield of ideas unprepared. Before you enter the fray, you need a plan. And there's no better place to get one than right here on Tactics with host Caleb Colquitt. The Situation Room goes live now on News Radio 1440.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Tactics, where speech isn't violence, tolerance isn't love, and disagreement isn't hate. Thank you so much for being with me on the program. I, of course, am Caleb Colquitt, and whether you are joining us on Facebook Live, on YouTube, on Twitch, Periscope, Twitter, however you got to the show today, we certainly appreciate you being here. And as usual, Wednesday is going to be a short show, and even though it will involve some news, I really want to use Wednesdays as a way to primarily focus on things of a spiritual nature, and that is going to be what happens tonight. And it's a really odd story to start with that. So I'll just go ahead and give you the details. And unfortunately, it involves somebody very close to us here in the Montgomery region. It involves a pitcher for the Montgomery Biscuits. This is the headline from CNN. Minor League Baseball pitcher's family killed in triple homicide. The wife and child and mother-in-law of a pitcher in the Tampa Bay Rays organization were killed in a Southern Virginia town Tuesday, and police arrested the brother-in-law of a minor league baseball player named Blake Bevins, authorities said. Matthew Thomas Bernard, 18, was arrested on three counts of first-degree murder. A spokesperson for the Pennsylvania County, Virginia, said in a statement provided to CNN. The victims were identified Wednesday as Joan Denise, Jefferson Bernard, Emily Bernard, Bevins, which would be the wife, and 14-month-old Cullen Micah Bevins, according to Pittsburgh County Sheriff Michael Taylor. They were the mother, the sister, and the nephew of the suspect, he said. So, I mean, I can't imagine what kind of pain that family is going through. Based on what I'm seeing here, these three people, I mean, you think about this baseball player, that he's off trying to live his dream, trying to make it to the majors, working his way up at the Montgomery Biscuits, trying to get to the major leagues through the Tampa Bay Rays, and then it's the tail end of the season. The Biscuits are going to the playoffs. They've already clinched that first division title, which is something that no Montgomery Biscuits team has ever done. They have won so many games, they're on the brink of breaking the city record that was set by the Montgomery Rebels before the Biscuits even existed. And you're about to wind down a very good season. And then one night you get this call that completely changes your life. You go from being on top of the world and being able to be so close to your dream that you've probably had since you were 5 or 6 and first picked up a baseball. You're so close you can taste it. And something like this happening was the furthest thing from your mind. And then you find out that your wife and your mother-in-law and your 14-month-old have all been murdered. And not just in some random event, not in some kind of botched robbery, as horrible as that would be, by a family member. By somebody that you probably considered, I don't know how close they were. It seems as though they might have been pretty close, considering how close they lived to one another. But by somebody that has been to your house probably quite a bit for Christmases and birthdays. I'm guessing was probably here at the birth of this child. I don't know how you process that. And true to my rule, I'm not going to give any political commentary on this particular event, so I'm going to try to use this to sort of focus in on what I want to talk about today. I don't know anything other than what's right here, what I've read to you, because I'd like to tell you that I have a lot of insider information. I don't. And even if I did, with a story this sensitive, I doubt I could share it. Even if I knew more than this article gave, I probably couldn't tell you more, even if I did have privileged knowledge. But you just think about this young guy, just on top of the world, probably coming close to making a lifelong dream come true, and poised to at least have a really good shot at taking a championship for your team. And that looks, you got to believe that looks really good on a resume, and that's a good platform, a good venue to strut your stuff, hoping that the Tampa Bay Rays is going to pick up on that. And yet for this guy, his entire world has completely done a 180. I can't imagine what this is like for him. I can't imagine that kind of pain. I mean, I've been through some stuff too, but not like this. Very few people have had to deal with something like this, and losing them all in a single day. There's got to be all kinds of grief and sorrow and hate and rage that bubbles up right to the surface, and I just hope and pray that God gives him the strength to get through this and that he will lean on the Lord to help him through that. And I want to say this outright. I do not know exactly why this guy did what he did. I don't know what his motive was. I don't know what he was going through that made him think that this was okay, or this was something that he felt he wanted or needed to do, whatever it was. But I will say this, speaking in a much more broad sense, I want to make very clear, I'm not talking about this particular case because I don't know the circumstances surrounding it. But when tragedies like this happen, in a very generic way, I want to address this question because I get asked it all the time. Whatever it is, whatever tragedy we're facing, there are people out there that ask, sort of just out in the void, asking for somebody to hear the question and respond, and sometimes directly to me personally, why is this happening in our country? Why is it that we're having these rashes of people just going out and acting in a way that doesn't make any sense? Now, this country and every other country has always had psychopaths, has always had murderers. This is not something new to humanity. The first murder was committed by Cain and Abel, the children of the first man and woman. So it's not like this is a new event. And again, I don't know specifically what set of events led up to this tragedy. But in a general rule, one thing that I have noticed that is causing some of these events that are somewhat unprecedented, like mass shootings, like the opioid crisis, like abortion, like suicides, I don't think it's any great mystery as to why these events are occurring and occurring in the frequency and in the manner in which they are. I'm not one of these guys that thinks that I have all the answers or that I have an easy fix to it, but I think diagnosing the problem, honestly, isn't very difficult. It seems obvious to me that we have a lack of purpose. And to illustrate what I mean by that, For the longest time, even what we would call the bad people in America and around the world, I'm not talking specifically about this country, I'm talking about sort of a condition of the human soul that is very prevalent in Western civilization right now. For the longest time, even the bad guys believed in God and believed that if they did something wrong, that they were going to face some kind of punishment for that. Some didn't, but a lot of them did. And as a society, collectively, most people believed that they were going to have to give some kind of account for their actions, for the decisions that they made. This is something that's really not nearly as prevalent as it used to be. The largest growing denomination in this country, for example, is non-religious. People are not going to churches, they're not seeing God, they don't think of Him on a daily basis or think of Him as a part of their worldview. And goodness knows there are religious people that didn't factor their religion into their daily life or integrate it in the way that they should. But there's a lot of people now that aren't even trying and don't even think about it as a part of their life. And even the ones that would say that they believe in God, they're not finding any purpose in it. And I think a lot of this goes all the way back to nihilism. Essentially a belief that life is completely meaningless, that there is no greater purpose behind living. Essentially, you are born, and you live a little while, and you die, and there's no spiritual aspect to it. What you can see in this physical world, that's it. There is nothing else. It's a completely physical, nothing beyond that sort of worldview. And what amazes me is that we know this. People on both sides of the political aisle, on both sides of the religious debates, we know this, and then we act surprised when we're seeing these things like the opioid crisis, like abortion, like suicide, like mass killings. And we sit here and we try to figure out why. It's obvious, isn't it? We no longer feel as though life is precious because we no longer feel like life has a purpose. Because if you have a God-fearing worldview, we're not even getting into religion. We're merely talking about somebody that acknowledges God's existence and at least makes some kind of concession or some kind of effort to please Him. At least when people had that bare minimum threshold of a worldview and used that as sort of a lens to view the rest of the world through, you believed that God loved you and God created you for a reason, and that God also loves everybody else and created them for a reason too. The world before God's revelation to man was pretty barbaric. And we know that not just from biblical accounts, but also from accounts that are outside the Bible, secular accounts that have nothing to do with the Jewish religion or even talk about it. And I think that it goes back to a lack of purpose. Because when you worshipped pagan gods, your worldview was essentially that you're just a plaything for the gods. You're just a peasant. All you can do is maybe grow enough food to try to keep you and your family alive, and that's about all you can do just to survive. And anything that you do, any actions that you take, are because you're merely a stringed puppet. And that people more powerful than you, including the gods, which by the way in most cultures included whoever the ruler was at the time. Pharaoh is a great example of that. That Pharaoh is a god too. You see, free will was for the gods and for the gods on earth. In other words, the worldly kings. People like Pharaoh, like Gilgamesh, a lot of the Asian cultures worship their emperors as kings. And that's the way pretty much the entire world was before the revelation of God. Before Sinai and before Abraham, you were basically just adrift in a sea of consequences, of random circumstances and scenarios that were completely out of your control. You could react to them, but even your reaction didn't really change anything. And we're getting back to that right now. What we're doing now is going back to that old world paganism that predates the time of Moses, that predates the time of Revelation. We're more high tech now for sure. And that's largely because of the contributions of the Enlightenment period, religious people, that kind of thing. But I won't get into all that right now. I'm just using that to say, finally, when Sinai happened, somebody said, you're not just a random sack of meat riding on a rock through space. You're a person, you're an individual. God created you for a reason. And yes, he will try to reach out to you and influence you, but your actions are your own. You're important, and you have rights that are not afforded to anybody else, that they're yours, and you cannot be separated from them. When Judaism first came on the scene, it was the first time that mankind was finally seen as an important individual that God cared about, that God didn't just want things from you, that he actually created you because he loved you and because he wanted what was best for you, and he tried to guide you and help you through the struggles of life. That's why Israel was so different from every surrounding nation. And eventually, of course, with Christianity, that same mentality spread throughout the rest of the world. And there was also some limited understanding of this also through the Greeks and the Romans, through enlightenment, through philosophical thinking as well. But the point is, before that time, you were just the victim of circumstance no matter what you did. And unfortunately, our world has gone back to that. If somebody commits a crime, it's not their fault because, well, they were just impoverished or they were in a bad neighborhood. It's not really them that's making that decision. I don't know why, but there are people that are now gravitating back to that old pagan worldview, that human beings don't really have any free will, that we're all just a giant collective, and when we die, it doesn't matter. And so the only way that we can find purpose or meaning is through the clan, through the population, through our culture. But even that is meaningless. If we really are just random atoms floating through the universe, and those atoms are going to change form, and, you know, a billion years ago, nobody's going to remember us, and everything starts over again, then that's not meaning. Nothing we will have done matters at all. The only way people can find real purpose in this life is through understanding that they are made in God's image, and so is everybody else. And so the way that we treat ourselves and the way that we treat other people matters. It matters to us, it matters to them, and it matters to God. When we've raised an entire generation to believe that they're nothing more than a slightly more evolved, intelligent monkey, and that their contributions or their decisions in life will make no lasting effect on anyone, well, then no wonder they feel like that killing themselves, killing other people, killing their children in the womb, no wonder they feel like that doesn't have any consequences. No wonder they feel like that's okay or acceptable, or that it's, at the very least, not a real big deal. If you believe you're just a minuscule speck in this massive universe and nothing you can do can change that, well, then we wouldn't be surprised that a person that views themselves as completely insignificant and worthless would also view other human beings that way. It truly is sad that so many have lost that biblical worldview, and without it, humankind goes back and reverts to what it was before that biblical worldview took root. A savage, tribalist society. And we're watching this, and the answer is so abundantly obvious and clear, and yet so many of us are ignoring it. So many of us are seeing these people trying to find purpose, clawing, groping in the dark for anything that might make them feel as though they're actually worth something, or that they'll make a difference in the world. People that are willing to kill children in a school building just so they can get 15 seconds of fame because that's the only way they feel like someone can hear them or pay attention to them or think of them as significant. And we sit here and watch that and we blame society? No. The emphasis on society or treating people as humans, as a collective, instead of an individual is what caused the problem in the first place. The entire message of the Bible, and yes, the Bible and the biblical structure is community driven. I understand that. But the message of the Bible is, I am God, I am your Father, and I care what happens to you. And because I care what happens to you, I'm giving you a list of things that I want to let you know about to help you through this journey of life, this gift of life that I have given to you. I mean, when you boil it down, that's what the Bible is actually saying. There's a lot more specifics in it, and that's the reason the Bible is as thick as it is. But when you boil it down, that's what it is saying. That God has a desire to have a personal relationship with us. And because our sin separates us from that personal relationship, he seeks to rectify that. That's how to live a purpose-driven life. Stay the course, friends.
Tactics is a production of News Radio 1440 and Cumulus Media Montgomery. Any opinions expressed on this program are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Cumulus Media. The theme song for Tactics is 6 Foot Town by Big and Rich. Graphics by Jessica Dawson. Broadcast studios provided by Cumulus Media Montgomery. Location studios provided by the Dalreda Church of Christ. Copyright 2019.